Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's nice to have Steve Smith on our program. Not the cricketer that plays for Australia, the man that knows his NBA and NBL inside out, writer for ESPN and ESPN Oz. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you going?
I'm well, guys. Good to be on.
Yeah, now give our audience the rundown on the Ben Simmons scenario.
Yeah, well, so look, it's probably moving along now. It's probably really a matter of when and not if he's going to be traded from Philadelphia. Even if he starts the season with Philly, I think it's pretty short odds that he won't be with them by Christmas.
So is there much interest out there from some of the other franchises?
Yeah, very much so, because he's an all-star talent, regardless of how he played in the playoffs or anything like that. He's a valued, highly valued commodity. So, you know, teams like Minnesota and Toronto have certainly inquired about him with Philly, but Philly has a really high asking price as well. So while nothing has sort of happened at the moment, because they're asking a lot, and what Minnesota have offered and what the Raptors could potentially package around, say, someone like Pascal Siakam, it probably hasn't moved Philly enough yet. But the other issue there is that Philly now has no leverage, because Ben has said he wants out. So that kind of wrecks, you know, being able to get as much value as they want for him.
So he's throwing the toys out. He's not going to training. Is he getting fined for not going to training every time he misses?
Oh, I actually wouldn't know if that was the case. I doubt it. I think they'd be trying to negotiate that. That sort of system probably doesn't really play real well with the Players Association over there. And so, but what will happen is that they want someone like, they want a megastar back. So they want someone like a Damian Lillard from Portland. You know, and even then, Ben apparently wants to go to California. So, you know, Philly have said to Golden State, well, give us your number one draft pick from last season, James Wiseman. Give us your next best player in Andrew Wiggins, who's, you know, anyone that's not named Steph Curry, we want, plus a bunch of draft picks. And that's a really high asking price.
It comes really down to his value, doesn't it? What his true value is. And if he's only going to want to be traded to a Californian team, do you know the reason why he only wants to go to a Californian team?
Probably the weather, I'd probably say.
Why wouldn't we, eh?
Exactly. Yeah. I think the lifestyle there suits Ben, and he's probably had enough of Philadelphia winters.
Do you think he can improve his game? Obviously, his shooting is an issue. He spent some time away, didn't go to the Olympics and copped a bit for that. He's had some time away. From all reports, has he improved in that area?
Yeah, look, it's really hard to say from just, you know, a couple of Instagram, you know, stories and things like that. But look, he's got the skills to be able to do it. I think it's all mental at this point. I think he really needs to be in an environment that embraces him and wants him to be there and wants him to improve. There's no reason why he's never going to become an elite jump shooter, but he can certainly improve from what he was doing, you know, in the postseason last year.
Do you think it's his fault, or do you think part of it is Philadelphia's fault, the way they handled it when they benched him late in the season and he lost a lot of confidence and a few of his teammates had a bit to say?
Yeah, look, it's a really hard one, because I think, you know, they needed him to perform, you know, in the pressure of the playoffs and things like that. And I think there's probably some blame to be attributed to both sides. You know, social media, you know, sniping, and that probably didn't help. But I think, you know, Ben has to want to improve as well. And I think that's part of the issue, I think, from Philadelphia's standpoint.
Some more good news over there in the NBA today, particularly for the NBL. Matt Nielsen has been given the role of assistant coach at San Antonio, a step up for him.
Yeah, it really is. You know, he's been with that organisation for a little while now, and having coached their G League team, I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, it's a system that he's comfortable with, and it's just another step along the way. And hopefully, you know, one day we might even see him, you know, as an NBA head coach.
Tell us a bit more about this Chinese player. He's coming into the NBL. He's 226 centimetres tall, Carl.
Not as tall as the bloke from Iran that was in the Paralympic Games. He was 2 metres 49, Hayes.
How about that?
Yeah, that was the volleyball, by the way.
Can this guy play? Because, look, we don't have much height in the NBL, to be honest.
No, look, he's probably going to be the biggest player we've had in the league since Andrew Bogut. So, you know, 7'1" in the old books, which, incredibly, you know, he's still 6 inches shorter than the ex-Chinese center, you know, Yao Ming, who used to play for Houston. So, but look, he should be really good. He comes really with some really big raps, and he's been playing for the Chinese national team since about 2014. And what it really does as well, it really opens up China, you know, to the NBL to China, much like sort of, I guess, LaMelo Ball did for Illawarra a couple of seasons ago. It's a whole new audience for both South East Melbourne and the NBL as a whole.
Just taking an early look at all the teams and the recruiting and the players lost, who do you think will be the top four in the NBL this season?
Oh, it's real a bit early on that, but I look, Perth are always going to be there. I made the mistake of writing Perth off last year, and much to my detriment, and I own that. But certainly Perth look really good, having picked up Vic Law from Brisbane. They got a new coach, Scott Morrison, not that one. And look, South East Melbourne are going to be really tough. That's a good roster that they've got together now. Sydney are going to be good, and Melbourne United are always thereabouts. So that's probably an early top four. But every team will have looked to have improved.
What can you tell us about the NBL season, the start dates, and how it will happen with particularly these border controls in place for different states?
It's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because they've set the date as November 18th as season tip off, and I'm just wondering if that's going to happen. You hear rumblings and whispers that it could be pushed back. I hear it could be pushed back a week. Is it going to be? No one's really saying anything, which it's kind of interesting in and of itself. So we'll see. But I'm really curious to see if that, because I still think that's a little bit early, and you could almost see it being pushed back even a month if worse comes to worse.
The interesting part is the news today, isn't it? The NBL 3x3, the Big Hustle National Championships moved to January. They were scheduled to start in October, so that will now be held January 22 and 23 in 2022. So that's an interesting little move. Are you a fan of the 3x3?
I think by itself it's fine. I wasn't necessarily a fan of it being at the Olympics. It doesn't really do it for me, but I guess I'm a purist at heart. But I get the appeal. It's fast, and there's an entertainment value to it. But yeah, I much prefer the 5-on-5 stuff.
Yeah, it's even worse when we're not in it, right? If we were in it, there'd be a lot more interest.
Exactly.
But we weren't good enough.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, thanks very much for the chat, mate. And we will hopefully touch base with you as we get closer to the season. It gets underway. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, guys.
Steve Smith, NBA and NBL writer for ESPN and ESPN Oz. Great to have him on the program. That's Kira Commitment on the other side. We'll come back. David Short with an odds update. And not too far away, James Broadhurst from Greyhounds WA will do our Chase for Charity.